nationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author Steve Klein sits down with the most fascinating difference makers in Dallas-Fort Worth. Hear from top CEOs, local entrepreneurs, and key playmakers in business right now with your host, Steve Klein.
Woody Allen said, 80% of success is showing up. Hi, I'm Steve Klein, and welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. In the studio today are two guests who are successful and do show up. Our first playmaker has increased revenue and customer base in his company by 100% in 2 years, while our second playmaker did her first PR booking at 16 with Cousin Brucey. With us today is the CEO of one of the few companies that have been providing electricity in Texas since deregulation, while our next playmaker is president of a company that uses speaking as a way to build business. These great playmakers are Russell Head. Russell is CEO of Andler Power. And Janet White. Janet is president of JW Speakers Agency. And we're going to begin today's show with Janet. Janet White did her first booking at 16, as I mentioned, with New York City's top DJ, Cousin Bruce Morrow. And her second booking at 20 with world-renowned Broadway composer-lyricist Stephen Sondheim. In one way or another, and in one form or another, Janet's been in business-to-business sales, marketing, or PR ever since. After stints as a reporter at Newsday and operation assistant at WABC-AM, when it was the number one radio station in America, Janet got a master's degree in urban planning from New York University and spent 12 years as a commercial real estate writer and publicist, 9 of those years with her own PR agency in New York and Dallas, where she moved in 1990. 2010, Janet came back to her B2B public relations roots and created the JW Speakers Agency to bring together local business owners who use free speaking as a way to build their business but don't want the hassles of getting booked, and local business, civic, and consumer groups who use free speakers but don't want the headaches of having to find them. And Janet, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks, Steve.
I mentioned that you had a master's in urban planning. So how does that master's in urban planning get you into the speakers business?
Actually, I was a publicist. I was born knowing how to get other people famous, and I knew I had the gift for it in high school. I got the master's degree in urban planning because it got me out of being a smart secretary.
Interesting.
And a few years after getting the degree, I actually got a job doing public relations for New York City, or actually the country's top commercial real estate consulting firm. So I was able to combine my love of commercial real estate, because I worked for a number of companies in various capacities before that job, with what I knew how to do with what I loved to do, which was getting other people famous.
Well, you mentioned that one. You mentioned something about being starting in high school. How did you know in high school that you knew how to make people famous?
I just knew what to do. It was there. I just knew what to do, and I can't explain it. I didn't have any training for it. When I was in play production in high school, in my junior year, I really wanted to be on the production side of it. So in my senior year, I was in charge of programs and publicity for the play. And for the first time in the school's history, we sold out the program, all of the ads, all of the boosters, simply because I would go door to door, knock on doors, stores, and say, do you want to take an ad? And they'd say, yes. Well, clearly I knew something.
And if nothing else, you realize that just having that activity, going out and talking about it, was very helpful too. Fast forward to where we are today. You have a rather unique business. Matter of fact, I've never heard of anybody that has something exactly like you, but there are a tremendous amount of companies that do something similar as far as speakers agencies. So that's what you do, but you have a twist to it. Talk about that.
There are lots of companies who book professional speakers for pay. These agents get a commission based upon how much the speakers get. So if you've ever been to a conference and you see a keynote speaker, that speaker is being paid by the conference or the association putting on the conference, and the agency who booked them is getting a percentage of that fee plus a percentage of the products that they sell at the back of the room. The variation that I have is I take the same concept, but it's for local business owners who use free speaking as a way to build their business. So they don't get paid to speak, but they get visibility among the people they want to reach, who are the consumers or the businesses right in their own community. So that enables them to be more visible, enables them to share their knowledge and, quote, sell without selling.
Well, indirectly, they're getting paid. The other the other types of methods. They get paid, actually get a check when they speak. Instead of getting the check, they either develop clientele from that, or they do back-of-the-room sales too. And for those who don't understand it, talk about back-of-the-room sales.
The back-of-the-room sales is really on the professional side. This is where most professional speakers make most of their money, from the tapes and the books and the products and the seminars and sign up for my workshop and sign up for that. I encourage my clients who are local business professionals to have some kind of what I call a follow-up product or service, such as a workshop, because just as you said, the whole idea of getting them in front of a group is to share what they know so they will get business, which is how they get paid. So they don't get a check for speaking, but they do get clients as a result of speaking. The back-of-the-room products, a lot of my clients don't have them, which is just fine. And if they, in my case, when I go out to speak, I do have a back-of-the-room product. I have a book, Cold Calls to Closing, What Every Small
Business
Should Know
About. I'm going to ask you about that in a moment. We'll stay on this track for a moment.
All right. And the few books that I sell, I consider it pocket change. But I really go out there and sell go out there and speak as a way to generate business from my business.
That's a tremendous way to do it. And many people, as you say, have books. Many have CDs that they have. They have workshops, something that they can get in the hands of people, which is one way to make money. But just meeting those people and developing that relationship helps too.
Exactly. The whole idea is to start that conversation with clients, many of whom will not become clients for months or years, and others who will become referral sources to other clients.
I've done a number of talks like that, and for all intents and purposes, I become the center of influence because they've seen me, they've heard me, they trust me, they're willing to see me. Now, that doesn't mean they'll buy from me, but if I can get my foot in the door, there's a much better chance. So essentially, you're helping your clients get their foot in the door with potential businesses they wouldn't have had otherwise.
Public speaking is the most cost-effective way for a local service business to get business because you are directly in front of people who are already interested in what you have to say. And we know they're interested because, one, they invited you to speak, which is my job, and two, they showed up to hear you. It doesn't get any better than that.
Which is one of the reasons that I tell people that if they'd like to get into speaking, they don't know how, Toastmasters, something like that, to learn how to do that. But it's the most effective way, if nothing else, to learn how to communicate more effectively with people just standing on your feet and doing that.
Absolutely. What I do is the second part. You see, Toastmasters is great. It teaches you what to do once you're in front of an audience. But nobody teaches you how to get in front of an audience. So I fill that gap that nobody else was doing. And since I've been doing this since I was 16.
A couple of years ago.
For me, this is a joy. I'm actually making money, having fun.
Well, there's two parts of your business. We talked about part one, which is the speakers. You're always looking for speakers. So if any listener is interested, you can go to Janet's website, which is jwspeakersagency.com. But the second part of it, which you briefly mentioned, is the audience. Talk about some of the groups that you make available for your speakers.
We service a niche that was previously untapped. What I did was simply take what's out there and put it in an organized way. We service Rotary Clubs, Kiwanis Clubs, local business groups, Chambers of Commerce, Moms Clubs, senior groups, women's groups, groups that are already meeting and need speakers. And as I said, all I did was assemble this database in an organized manner. And now we are the go-to place. Many of your listeners are our clients in terms of the groups. And they come to us and say, we need speakers, and we provide them as best we can.
Well, it's amazing how many are out there. You take just Rotary Clubs, there has to be 20, 30, 40 in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and they need a speaker every single week.
Hundreds.
And then you add Optimists and all the other groups in there.
And it's Exchange Clubs and you name it. And they're Chambers of Commerce, most of them have at least one function a month. Some have three. Dallas-Fort Worth is the largest we are the economic capital of the Southwest, so it's absolutely a joy to be here.
And once you provide a speaker that they like, they probably come back to you again. And they have program directors that have to get a speaker every single day, so they have one phone number, Janet's, and they call her and take care of that. But you mentioned your book. Talk a little bit about your book and why that's so important.
Cold Calls to Closing, What Every Small Business Should Know About Selling, is the only book that I can find is a sales training manual for small business owners who typically have never had any formal training in sales. And I've had formal training in sales, but because I was doing this long before I actually got sales training, what I found on the formal side was that most of their stuff doesn't work. So I put together a how to do it in a way that does work. And what I did was simply take what is generally accepted as this is the way you make a sale or this is the way you pick up a phone and call somebody and examine it realistically with common sense and sound business judgment and an understanding of basic human psychology and say, does it make sense? I'll give you an example. We are taught in sales training that we are supposed to sell. But the fact is that nobody likes to be sold. That's just a tenet of human nature. If I come on to you hard and heavy and start to pitch and hustle, automatically you're going to put up a wall of resistance. I then have to overcome that wall. But I've created my own problem. If, on the other hand, I come to you suggesting a possible solution to an issue that you might be having, chances are you're going to be receptive to my suggestion. There is no resistance simply because I didn't create it in you.
And if you help them find what they want,
they will help me get what I want. That's right.
Well, let's talk about that book. Mention the name of your book again and tell the listeners where they can find it.
Cold Calls to Closing, What Every Small Business Should Know About Selling, is available on Amazon in printed and Kindle form. It's also available on my website, which is www.coldcallstoclosing.com.
And mention your speakers agency website again.
It's www.jwspeakers, with an S at the end, agency.com.
And you can remember the JW because that's Janet White. And tell the listeners what they'll find on your website.
They will find my catalog, which are all of my speakers. Just click on the speakers tab. You'll see every speaker. I've got four categories: business, consumer, special needs, and women and family. All of our speakers are listed. Just click on all of them. You'll also have other information about what we do, who we are, how we work. And if you are interested in joining us, please give me a call at 972-517-7503 or send me an email at jwhite@jwspeakersagency.com.
And you'll find the website and her phone number on our website, which is playmakerstalkshow.com. Janet, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks so much, Steve.
Janet White is president of JW Speakers Agency. Don't go away. We're going to talk about power and a concierge service that most electricity companies don't have. We're going to speak with Russell Head. He is CEO of Andalor Power, and we're going to talk to Russell right after this.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
Their names are Vivian, Bryce, Zoe, and Joshua, ages 5 to 12. They are part of a very exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They've all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. Each year in DFW, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Wipe Out Kids Cancer helps families cope and support researchers looking for a cure. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. Learn more at wokc.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. This segment, we're going to talk about power electricity with the CEO of Andalor Power. His name is Russell Head. Russell Head is CEO of Andler Power and has over 30 years of executive-level sales, general management, new business development, marketing, operational, and call center experience. Andler Power became a certified electricity retailer in the Texas market shortly after deregulation in 2002. It was one of only a handful of companies that have been providing electricity in Texas since deregulation. Andler Power provides both commercial and residential electricity products, including green options, throughout Texas. Russ and a group of investors purchased the company in December 2012, and since that time has seen an improvement in revenue and customer base by over 100%. The company maintains its customer support operations in Lubbock and prides itself as being a company with true Texas roots. Russ, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, the question I want to ask you covers a lot. How does a poli-sci major from Creighton University in Omaha become the CEO of a major power company in Texas?
You know, I think like anything, it's right time, right place. I've been afforded a lot of great opportunities that have kind of got me to this position. A lot of great people along the way, a lot of great companies I've been able to work for. Political science is a lot like business. It's all about relationships. It's about sales. It's about doing the right thing for the right people. And that's kind of really how I've kind of tried to live my life.
Well, the closest thing I know about you to political science is you ran for, was Plano City Council.
I did. I actually ran 3 or 4 years ago, unsuccessfully, unfortunately. But it was such a tremendous experience. I learned a great deal along the way. Met a lot of really great people. And, you know, I would encourage anyone, if they really want to get involved in their community, look to serve, whether it's through a type of position like that or just getting involved in the community.
I've heard that from a lot of people. There's really two parts of doing it. It's running for the position and having the position. And running is almost the better part of the experience.
It is.
The rest of it is work.
It is. I, to be honest with you, I would have never traded that experience. The campaigning part was the most fun. Not only just meeting the other candidates, but meeting the people along the way, sitting in forums, hearing the issues that people deem that are relevant in the community, some of the concerns that they have, some of the experiences that they have, and really where they see their community, their lifestyle going. It's just a tremendous opportunity.
Well, it puts you right in the middle of what's going on in the community, so you get to learn a lot, if nothing else.
It does. I was able to, through that experience, join our Rotary group, for example, join some other civic organizations in Plano, the Hendrick Scholarship Foundation, Emily's Place, a number of great nonprofits that also are greatly involved in the community.
Well, you're hearing that from the CEO. He was very involved. Well, you were work for some very good companies, MCI, PageNet, and Green Mountain. How did you and your partners come about purchasing Andler Power 2 years ago?
When I left Green Mountain late, I guess, 2008, 2009, I was looking for another opportunity to kind of branch off consulting, brokering opportunities in the energy space. At the same time, I continued to parlay that with the relationships that I have, looking for a company that was small, well-run, was looking for some additional capital infusion that was really integrated in the state. We found Andler through some of that due diligence, and we purchased the company in December 2012.
You said due diligence, so apparently you were not real familiar with the company prior to purchasing it.
To be honest with you, I had never heard of it. And I had been in the energy business in Texas for 9 years with Green Mountain Energy. So I knew of most of the companies that were out there. And quite frankly, Andler was kind of the hidden gem out in West Texas. And a lot of the community roots, I mean, they're, you know, you go and you visit our Lubbock office, it's folks that had gone to Texas Tech, have been living their lives in Lubbock, who live the dream through and through in terms of customer service, support, and really know what it's like to have a relationship with a customer.
Well, that brings us to the next question I wanted to ask. You mentioned customer service, but what else makes Andler Power different from the numerous companies out there that provide power?
You know, I think when we were looking for a company, our mission was to kind of parlay our experience, and when I say our experience, some of my partners that had also been in the energy business, to parlay kind of what we knew from being internal to a company to also being external from a broker consultant type of role, where we were working with several of the retail providers in Texas for the benefit of our customers. So really parlaying that experience of saying, you know, here are good practices, here are bad practices from a retail provider. What can we do to improve that? One, for the customer relationship. Two, for those brokers and consultants that were providing customers on our behalf. And really kind of taking all those best practices, if you will, and trying to say, here's what we can do to make the company better.
Well, you have increased both your customer base and revenue by 100%, but you said it was small anyway.
It was.
So it sounds like you'll be continually doing that. But you, in looking at your website, which is andeler.com, A-N-D-E-L-E-R.com, you have something unusual that I had not seen for any power company. It's your personal concierge service.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that and what a customer gets to have as a member of your of your company.
So both in the multifamily space, apartments, for example, as well as residential, we found that there was a need that, you know, energy, electricity is very generic. I mean, people don't want to think about it unless the power goes off or they get the bill. That's generally the two times that they ever think about it. So it's very generic. And what we wanted to do is kind of separate ourselves apart to say, what else can we parlay into a product portfolio that a customer would find a benefit? And we know that there's, you know, a number of concierge type services out there with your credit card, et cetera, et cetera. But we felt that if we could kind of separate ourselves from the pack with some different opportunities, especially in the multifamily community, where a resident moves into a property, you know, they'd like to have things taken care of. They want to get their energy provided. They want their services set up. You know, they want their newspaper, for example, their cable TV. So if we could integrate that into one portfolio of products, if you will, that offered those services, we felt that there was some stickiness in keeping that customer.
Well, looking at your website, it looks like there's well over 25, including errand running and personal services, nightlife VIP, wake-up call. Where did you find these, or were these packaged already when you did find them?
It was a package through one provider that we had found after we sourced a number of different companies out there. We felt that their products were, for the most part, the most robust.
Do you know or can you tell how well it's being received by your customers?
It's been very well received, actually. Our especially in the multifamily space, the residents really love it.
Well, you have been doing this for a couple of years. You have a background in running companies. How did you learn how to do it? How did you learn your leadership, your management style?
You know, I've always told folks I've learned from the best, I feel. And it's running a business to me is really about culture. And when I started out of college in 1983, I went to work for MCI up in Seattle. And they were going through the equal access divestiture days when AT&T was being split up and MCI was out there. Bill McGowan was the chairman, Burt Roberts, Tim Price.
That was Wild Wild West back then.
It was. And it was so exciting to be a part of that, especially at my age. I mean, I was 24 years old, out of college, first job selling, you know, dial one, long distance.
I remember that. And all the rules were being changed.
Absolutely.
You were making them up as you were going along.
And at the time we were selling it, it wasn't just pick up the phone. It was pick up the phone and dial a 14-digit number behind, you know, your 7-digit number to make a long-distance phone call. I mean, the process wasn't easy. But, you know, we had the best sales culture that I have ever been a part of. I mean, we would go to meetings and we would come back so motivated. But they treated you with respect, but also had high expectations. And what I found is that those high expectations turned into a culture where people were extremely motivated, from the person that answered the phone to the salesperson to the CEO. And everybody spoke the same language. Everybody had the same mission statement. Everybody had the same direction. And you always felt that you were in the boat, but you were in the boat with everybody, and everybody was pulling the same direction, and you were having fun doing it. You know, the meetings you would go to were extremely motivational. And you come back to, you know, your city after a three-day meeting, which generally you always felt like they were going to be a beatdown. You come back to your city incredibly motivated that all you wanted to do was go out and sell. So, you know, the background with MCI was tremendous. And then I was very fortunate to work for a company, PageNet, based here in Dallas, based in Plano. George Perrin was our founder, started the company. It was the largest paging company in the world at the time, which now you talk about paging, it doesn't even exist, right? Yeah, what's that, right? But again, it was a cultural thing. And we talk about that to this day. It's funny because, you know, you talk about LinkedIn. And those relationships that you kind of established again, reestablished, the people you hadn't talked to 7, 8, 10, 12 years ago that you used to work for. And the whole conversation is, hey, it's great to hook up with you again. Boy, do I miss PageNet, don't you? And those are the kind of companies, quite frankly, I've been blessed to work for. And I've been able to use that, I think, in terms of developing culture in companies and positions and roles that I've been a part of.
Well, I can tell your passion as you're talking about this. If you're leading your company Antler Power that way, then I'm sure you'll be extremely successful. But your hurdle to get over is just really letting people know about who you are.
It is, absolutely. And quite frankly, even the, you know, taking a smaller company and when you start to see tremendous growth that we're seeing, is a need, obviously, for capitalization. And that's really where we're at right now. We've hired an investment banker here in Dallas to help us with a capital raise. We're in the middle of that process because, as you know, I mean, as you grow, you need to have money in bank to sustain that growth.
That's right, absolutely. So how does anybody who wants to take a look at what you have and possibly change power companies find you?
You can either go to our website. My email address, phone numbers are on our website. I'm happy to take calls. I take calls frequently from friends, family, customers. What you find, I think, with a company like ours is that you're not just another part of our count that we do every month. It's you actually have a role and people respect it when you become a customer.
Well, you've heard the CEO, and assuming you become part of Andler Power, you become part of the family, it seems.
It does.
So it's Andler, A-N-D-E-L-E-R, Andler.com. Russ, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Russell Head is CEO of Andler Power. Well, this has been a terrific show. Thank you all very much for joining us. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com. And we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
Who will Steve be interviewing next? Find out on Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein every Friday afternoon at 3 on 770 KAAM. Hear this interview again by going to Steve's website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com.